Yasmin yato yahi, Yasmin yato yahi yena te yasya yasmad. Yasma yata yare uta yastva para parva parova. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritak swabhavaha. Sanchoditas tad akilam bhavatak swarupam. Yasmin, in any condition of life, yataha, because of anything, yahi, at any time, past, present, or future, yena, by something, cha, also, yasya, in relationship with anyone, yasmat, from any causal, casual representative. It's casual, I guess it's from any casual representative. Yasmai, unto anyone, without discrimination in regard to place, person, or time. Yata, in any manner. Yat, whatever it may be. Uta, certainly. Ya, anyone who. To, but. Apara, the other. Para, the supreme. Va, or. Bhava, being. Karoti, does. Vikaroti, changes. Pritak, separate. Svabhava, nature, under the influence of the different modes of material nature. Sanchoditaha, being influenced. Tat, that. Akilam, all. Bhavataha, of your lordship. Sarupam, emanated from your different energies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal are all but manifestations of your energy. Therefore, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Purport. Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents or by the government, by some place or some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that is done, whether in the higher, middle, or lower planetary systems, is done to the supervision or control of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore said, Karmana, Daiva, Naitrena, Jantur, Deho, Papadite. Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, within the core of everyone's heart, gives inspirations for action according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Bhagavad Gita therefore says, Matak smritira gyanam apavanam cha. Everyone works according to the inspiration given by the Supersoul. Because everyone has a different goal of life, everyone acts differently, as guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words yasmin yato yahi yena chayasya yasmat indicate that all activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by the living entity and fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Although all such activities are not different from the Lord nevertheless directs Sarva Dharma Prachaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. As long as we work according to our material senses, we are in material life. But as soon as we act according to the real, transcendental direction of the Lord, our position is spiritual. The activities of bhakti, devotional service, are directly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narada Pancharatra states, Sarva padiva nirmuktam tatparat vena nirbalam Rishikesha, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. One gives up materially designated positions, works directly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's spiritual life is revived. This is described as srupena vyavastiti, being situated in one's original constitutional position. This is the real description of mukti, or liberation from material bondage. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, work under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in the material world is influenced by your energy, the cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, matter due to which they work, goal of life they have considered final, and the process of obtaining this goal are all nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Here it explains about the virtual reality that we're living in. We're thinking, we're doing so many things, gaining, losing, in difficulty, in bliss. So many different ideas we have in the material world, but they're all based upon the false conception that we think we're actually doing something. In the material world, that is. Now, the soul has been defined as a karta. Does anyone know where Krishna says the soul is a karta? A doer? Where does Krishna say the soul is not a doer? Do you have the verse right there? I know. I mean, I'm just wondering. You have the advantage of a computer. So what does Krishna say? You don't have to. We'll give you a chance to recite the verse. Yeah. Gunai. Yes. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Translation? Good. And what does Krishna say? The soul is the doer. We've narrowed it down. There are 78 verses in the 18th chapter. Which verse in the 18th chapter? If I give you the Sanskrit, can you give me the English? Adishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritak vidan vivitas cha pritak chesta daivam chaivatma panchamam. You know that verse, Ananta? 18 what? Could be. 18, 14. Yeah, it's probably four. What's 14? See, the book is faster than a computer. That's what I said. Translation?
The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul, these are the five factors of action.
So what since the soul has been declared to be not the doer, and then he's declared to be the doer, is that Krishna changed his mind when he got up to the 18th chapter? After speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he became enlightened. So what's the difference between the soul being the doer and the not doer?
It's not independent.
Yeah, that's certainly true. So how is the soul doing? What is the soul doing? What is he desiring? According to how does he desire? Yes. So, apuryamana machala patishtam samudrama papravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like the river into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, our mind is like a river, and it's always flowing. And it's, generally speaking, if we become attached to one of the modes of material nature, in other words, the mind, the material mind, is giving us options, thoughts, and we can become absorbed in those thoughts. Or we can hear from Krishna and from his representatives, and then we can have different thoughts. So what's the difference between being in Maya and being in Krishna consciousness? When we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we're in Maya. It's not that I go from being Krishna conscious to being just a nice person. Generally, when I'm special, I'm in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I'm just generally a nice person. That's yeah. Maybe we go from transcendental to the mode of goodness, but that may not always be the case. So, if flowing through our mind is Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, that's called Krishna consciousness. And if flowing through our mind is one of the three modes, you know, one moment I'm excited, and the next moment I'm dull, then the next moment I'm peaceful. Oh, I smell the flowers. And the moment, Krishna! We're in Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's Krishna consciousness. So, that's called Anishtata Bhajana Kriya. Up and down like a roller coaster. And we're practicing. There's two different types of Krishna consciousness. One is called Mantra Upasana, and the other one is called Sarasiki. Mantra Upasana is for those who are practicing to become Krishna conscious. And Sarasiki is those who have actually come to the platform of spontaneous Krishna consciousness. You know what the difference is, Ananta, between Mantra Upasana and Sarasiki? Okay. Mantra Upasana is just like we're chanting mantras. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Riteshu Saravi Palaya. Suravir Palayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Saha Sad Savyamanam Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Vajami. So this is something we can meditate upon. Now there are different levels of mantra upasana. Upasana means meditation on this mantra. Now we can just chant the mantra. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha. And it doesn't mean anything to us. We could be a parrot. Game time, we need. Polly want a cracker. Polly want some prasadam. We can chant it like a parrot. Any kind of this is better than chanting something else, like some cinema song. But after all, it has some effect, but it doesn't really enter into our hearts very much. The other thing is to chant the mantra and to think about what it means. Since Chintamani, what does Chintamani mean? Touchstone. So to think about a touchstone. Has anyone ever seen a touchstone? No, so therefore it's a little hard. But we know the touchstone turns bell metal into gold or iron into gold. So you just think of an ordinary rock, wherever, you know, whatever rock we can think of, and just imagine that rock touching something and turning into gold. Chintamani prakaras, Chintamani prakaras, Chintamani prakaras, sadmasu kalpa vriksha. So what does prakara mean? Sadmasu? You can guess. What's that? The floor. The ground. The floor in Krishna's palace is made out of touchstone. No. The ground, sadmasu. Prakara is made from. Even in kara, in Sanskrit, to do. Karoti. Made from, to do, to make. You have that in the verse book, Chintamani? So we have to imagine a world where the ground is made out of touchstone. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha. What is a kalpa vriksha? Desire tree. So then see a tree. If we just say kalpa vriksha and we see K-A-L-P-S. Really, they have trees which are called, you know, kalpa vriksha. There's kalpa, whatever. No, we have to see a tree. The ground, the tree. In other words, we have to use our imagination. We have to make images within our mind, or else it's completely superficial. It's nice. The sound vibration is transcendental and certainly beneficial. But when we actually see something, a form, then it actually becomes much more personal and much more exciting and interesting. And similarly, the more we are able to see, you know, there is the trees, there is the land, there is the goddesses of fortune, there's Krishna, you know, attracting the goddesses of fortune with his flute. So therefore we have these pictures to inspire us, to use our imaginations. Prakara, what is the definition for prakara?
Groups made of.
Oh, that's right. And sadmasu?
In a boat.
Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa chintamani. Chintamani? What's that? Chintamani? Chintamani stones. So, the more we do that, then the more we enter into what's actually mantra upasana, worship of the mantra. The mantras are actually worshipable, because they're not different from Krishna in the spiritual world. And the more what is the process of actually entering into mantras, upasana? That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha eja charata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature, but is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, merges entirely into transcendence. So to get rid of this attachment, and what is this attachment caused by? Does anyone know what attachment aversion is caused by? What's the root cause? Well, we're getting there. We're pretty close. What's the root cause of our coming to the material world? Envy, yes. They're all based upon it. We're just attachment and aversion are all based upon envy. We're envious. We want to become the proprietor. Ichcha dvesha smutena dvandva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoha sargeyanti parantapa. Law all of Yandis are born into delusion are overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. We hate, we want to become God. Maybe not the big God, we just want to be a little God. We just, you know, most people these nowadays, they can't get along with their family, but they want the dog. Obey me, I'll feed you if you obey me. They want to feel like they're lording, they're controlling something. And when the dog comes and bites them, then they become angry. You rascal, I protected you, I provided for you, and this is what I get in return. So they want to become God, and they hate the fact they can't become God. So this is the root cause of all attachment and aversion. So Krishna consciousness is the process of becoming free from that attachment and aversion. And what is the process? It's the next verse. Yesham andakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva mohanirmuktva bhajante mam dridavrataha. Those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions, reactions are all eradicated, become free from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So pious activity means for us devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So when we do that pious activity, and then we become free from our sinful reactions. So that's explained in the purport. There are four kinds of impious people who never approach Krishna, as Krishna explained in that same chapter. Those who are foolish, those who are sinful, those who are deceitful, and those who are atheistic. They never approach Krishna under any circumstance, or rarely. And the process is beginning with religious life. So what are the four principles of religion? That's the four purusharthas. Yes. So these are the principles of religion. So any religion that's teaching the followers to become clean and truthful and merciful and austere, that's actually a religion. But you can't become austere or clean or merciful or truthful if you're engaged in lying propaganda, mental speculation, illicit sex, intoxication, and meat eating, animal killing. It's not possible. So any religion that doesn't include these four things, of course, they include one of them, it's better than nothing. I mean, if there's no principle whatsoever, it's just whatever you feel like doing, you do, then one is less than the animals, because the animals don't do just their control, they have to follow their nature. But that's not the end. These religious principles, although they're quite rare nowadays, because people are only interested in religion for what? Economic development. And if they can get economic development without religion, they give up religion. And therefore we find people going to the church, not praying for love of God. My dear Lord, please give me love of God. Whoever you are, I want to love you. No, they generally go there, please give me this, give me that. Give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So people go to pray for material things. But if they become more serious following religious principles, then they come to the platform of trying to act piously. In other words, when we introduce the regular principles, actually what we're really trying to do, that usually comes afterwards. We don't begin with our preaching the regular principles. We tell people to chant Hare Krishna. And if they chant Hare Krishna enough, then they become a little free from their sinful proclivities, and therefore they, when they hear about the regular principles, they don't freak out. Impossible. You guys are crazy. You're trying to torture people, you know, denying the basic principles of life. As one devotee, he left the movement. He was the editor of Back to Godhead. He had a responsible position. And he left the movement declaring that Prabhupada denies the basic principles of life, of love. Because Prabhupada wrote him a letter and said, if you want to serve in the movement in this responsible position, you can't live with your boyfriend. So he thought, this is horrible, this is denying love. So there are certain principles that one has to follow, but generally it's introduced afterwards. But if you're practicing Krishna consciousness, and then someone has to convince you 20 years later that there are, you find out there are four regular principles, then it's probably a little late. In any case, by following the principle of religion, then one can act piously, namely engage in devotional service. Therefore, we find that people who are generally vegetarians are more likely candidates to, you know, to understand and appreciate what we're doing than people who are they're completely absorbed in sinful activities. And taking up the process of devotional service, what is the next stage? Is to tolerate our sinful reactions. If we stop sinful activities, it doesn't mean that the sinful reactions will stop. Prabhupada gives the example of the fan is going around, you pull the plug, it doesn't, the fan's going around. Oh! No, it keeps on going around for some time. But if the fan's going around and keep on keep going, you know, why doesn't it stop? Because you don't want it to stop. You know, some sinful thought goes and goes, I can't give that one up. Store that away for later. That's too nice. Wow, look at that one. Whoa. I don't want to forget that one. That was the highlight of my sinful life. Wow, I really liked that. Let me take it. I'm like, wow, oh my God, I'm not supposed to look at that, but that's really great. One more time, or no. Save it for later. No, it has to tolerate sinful reactions. In other words, one has to, whatever is left in our minds that's revolving around, we have to learn tolerance and not become absorbed in them. We have to just let the river come and flow and not become disturbed. And the only way it's actually possible to reach that stage is the mind is actually absorbed in mantras upasana. If we actually get a higher taste, something to at least turn to. The sinful thought comes, we go, wow. But no, let me withdraw my mind and put it back onto something more interesting. If we don't find Krishna consciousness more interesting, then of course we're going to look for something which we think is interesting. So unless we expand our meditation on these mantras that we're thinking about, it'll never become interesting. Chintamani prakara sadma sukha pravriksha. Oh, big deal. Sometimes we sing it and we like the sound of the song, but it doesn't really enter into our heart so much. So unless we actually, for instance, learn what they mean, and so when we hear the word, it actually makes some meaning to us. It has some actual, it enters into our heart and at least gives us awareness, if not experience, spiritual experience. Therefore, we come to Mangal Arati and we hear Samsara Dava Nanalita Loka, and we think, we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what it's all about. We're just there. We're just waiting for it to be over. Because it, you know, whether I sang it or not, made no difference in my life whatsoever. The only difference is I just wasted a half an hour singing it. Or 15 minutes, whatever it is. No, we have to actually know what it means. In the beginning, of course, we have to learn it, But that's not the end. It has a meaning to it. It has something, and it has a meaning supposed to be what we're doing. It's not just a mechanical thing. Every day we wake up, all right, Mangalarti, Guru Vastika prayers, okay, I'll go through it again. My consciousness is just like, you know, it's a shield. Nothing touches it. Nothing gets through. I dare it make any difference today. I've been seeing it for 50 years and it hasn't made any difference. I dare it to make any difference in my life today. No, it has to have some meaning. Otherwise, you know, even during Mangalarti or even when we're chanting, or in any case, you know, some desire will come and go, yeah, that's a lot more interesting than what's going on here. Wow! I'm not supposed to be doing it, but wow, I can't avoid it. It's really interesting. No, the Krishna consciousness has to be interesting. We have to make it interesting. We have to try to make it interesting. We have to learn how to make it interesting. Otherwise, we're simply going to remain attached. Although the thoughts aren't coming up all the time, hopefully. But unless we replace it with something superior, it's just going to keep on coming up. We have to do something. We're not going to give up something that we value. And it's only when we see that there's something more valuable that we can actually give it up. Therefore, we have to learn, there's a science of becoming conscious of Krishna. And we have to learn the science. So there are three modes as explained here, and they're flowing in our hearts, in our minds, and there's Krishna consciousness. We have to learn how to put Krishna consciousness in our hearts through the process of devotional service. Krishna just doesn't appear. We have to learn how to utilize our mind and senses and intelligence in a way that Krishna does appear within our heart. And when he does appear, then it becomes, Krishna consciousness becomes interesting as much as he does appear. Therefore, these books, the mantras we're singing, they're not different from Krishna, their personalities, and as much as we honor them, as much as we respect them, as much as we pay attention to them, as much as we try to understand them and appreciate them, to that extent, Krishna will reveal himself through these different processes of devotional service, and then Krishna consciousness will become more interesting than material consciousness. That's our hope. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj, is it so that if a person doesn't have experience of Krishna consciousness, that the first step is like putting his faith into, a space where he doesn't know what to do, what to expect, what to get, or like to get Krishna conscious experience. Is it so, or like, you know, like,
well, we're practicing Krishna consciousness, and we already determined that today it's going to be exactly the same as yesterday. By Krishna's mercy, it will probably be the same as yesterday, maybe a little worse. So we're not. That's called faithlessness. We have some faith enough to practice, but we have no faith that what we're practicing has any. It's not, we don't really think it's spiritual, something special, something different from what everything else I'm doing. Therefore, we don't have to kind of change, you know, I'm a true believer, I'm going to believe tonight. No, we just have to pay attention and relax a little bit. Masujaha. Try to feel, try to understand, try to be a little receptive, try to, you know. Then, just by that attitude of trying to become receptive and try to understand, try to pay attention, then Krishna will help us out. And trying to rely upon Krishna and his devotees like Prabhupada to pray to them to please help me understand this. Then they can reciprocate with us. But if we don't put them into the picture, we never ask them, you know, what do you think? They're never going to tell us what they think. They don't want to spoil our independence. What do we ask? What do you think? And then Krishna says, well, look it up in Bhagavad Gita. It's in this verse, or investigate or ask someone. And Krishna will help us. Or Prabhupada or others can help us too. If you have a question, you never ask it. If someone's right next to you, knows the answer, you never ask it. You expect them to tell you the answer without asking you, without your asking the question. Well, good luck. You'll probably have to wait a long time. Okay. Anything else? Over there.
Hare Krishna, thank you for lecture. Only to say that one period we sing in Anahata and Sanya Mangala in Slovenian translation, and it was very easier to feel the same, yes.
You were singing in the
Slovenian translation.
You were singing
translation, yeah. Yeah, we have...
the Guru Vasak instead of Sanskrit.
Translate in Slovene, all this...
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and only to say that this, I recognize how easier it was for us.
Lazy, that's all.
Yeah, to feel...
The advantage of Sanskrit is that for one who wants to assimilate the philosophy, like the philosophy wasn't written in Slovenian or even in English. Our philosophy was written in Sanskrit. And there are things that are subtleties of the philosophy that just you can't, no language that presently is there except for Sanskrit can actually convey. So the immediate songs we sing, and we sing them in the translation, they'll have meaning. But as far as trying to assimilate them and seeing them from different points of view, even if you translate all the songs and everything we have into Slovenian, still it would be very hard to capture the subtleties of our philosophy in that way. So it's all right. It's better just to know it. And I mean, the other alternative is when you hear samsara, the path of birth, or chintamani prakarasam masukabhu. When you hear that, just... try to learn the word for word, try to learn the translation. And so when you hear it, then spontaneously remember the Slovenian translation. And they actually can form some kind of experience from it. Image. Meaningful. Then when you hear other things, you know, because there are other words that use samsara, there are other verses that have samsara. Jamra mrityu jara vyadi tukha. Jaramarana mokshayama mashiti yatantiye te vidu yatma karma chakyam. And Bhagavad Gita doesn't have the other word. But there are words that are conveyed there that have different, like for instance, matparaha. You can translate it into Slovenian and English as something that gives you some taking shelter of. And you can translate that in English or Slovenian somewhere. But matparaha is used in subtle ways in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, chetasa sarva karmani maya sanyat matparaha buddhiyagama paschitya maschitek sadatam bhava. And then it's used in tani sarvani samyamya yuta sita matparaha. In a different way, matparaha. In a slightly different meaning, taking shelter of Krishna. Same thing, more or less, but slightly different. According to the context. And if we understand the difference, then we understand much more subtly what it means to take shelter of Krishna. So it's good. We should learn the translation in some language. English is not a divine language, nor is Slovenian, but we should learn it in a language that we understand. So when we hear the Sanskrit, it makes meaning to it. Meaning to us. And even if we, you know, when you learn a language like Sanskrit, or any language, like English, you probably, most of the devotees here speak English, so. Which means when you hear English, it's almost like the same as hearing Slovenian, because you've assimilated. So Sanskrit could be like that also. It's just a question of paying attention to it. And the advantage is that, as I said, our philosophy, which is not replicable in any mundane language, any of the current languages, can be more easily assimilated through the seeing it from the different points of view from Sanskrit. But in any case, if we're not prepared to do that, learning the Slovenian is much more valuable than, you know, than just singing it rotely from Sanskrit without any meaning to it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. The other thing is when you go to another temple and you're singing the Sanskrit and they're singing the Croatian, someone else is singing the English, someone's singing the German, anyone who walks in and saying, these people are talking in tongues. They're all different. I wonder what's the point. These people are definitely not in harmony with each other. They're in some different worlds. So it's just, it's something we can go anywhere in the world and we can sing together. Yes, anything else?
Hare Krishna. So, Bhakta Marcel has posted a question online. How to recognize and avoid sentimentalism when we are trying to put Krishna consciousness in our heart?
Well, I don't think we want to avoid sentiment. Oh, Krishna, I feel something. Get out. Get out of here. I'm about to cry. No, I'm not going to cry. I hate you, Krishna. It caused me to cry. No, we don't want to avoid sentiment, but we want sentimentalism, as you said. So knowledge, feeling without any knowledge behind it is called sentiment or sentimentalism or fanaticism. So we have intelligence and we have feeling. So they should be combined together. So when we reject, when we pay our attention to our philosophy and we assimilate it with intelligence, and we realize how nice Krishna is, and we can actually get enough intelligence to remember Krishna and to feel his presence, that feeling of Krishna in relationship to Krishna, out of love and devotion, with humility and all other good qualities, that sentiment, that's called Krishna consciousness. Or as Prabhupada said, activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So we should understand the philosophy and with intelligence, and at the same time we should have the feeling of love and humility, which is a product of remembering Krishna and his devotees, service. So we should use our intelligence to remember Krishna and Krishna consciousness and his things in relation with Krishna, but it should be with the attitude of love and devotion and humility and service. Not that now I'm remembering Krishna, I feel so good, I'm in love with Krishna, and Krishna should come before me and dance with Radharani, make me happy. No, that's not our philosophy. That's Sahajism. Anything else?
I just didn't catch, you know, Maharaj, when you said that the desire and hate comes from envy, or is...
Yeah, it's all envy. There's only the primordial desire is to become God. We may cover it up and disguise it, but that's why we're here in the material world. Become God means we're not trying to steal Krishna's flute and play it. We just want to lord it over, feel like we're in control here. We're the one who's actually making things happen. And so we're desiring that. When we find out that things don't really go along the way I planned it, then we become angry, frustrated. That's called hate. Maybe subtle. I didn't get the extra, you know, samosa I wanted. I repress it. But still, it's just, you know, enviousness. Why did he get it? I deserved it. Tomorrow I'm going to get it. So that's... Maybe very gross. I hate Krishna. He's so, you know, or I become envious of someone else. Why they have so much fame and name, or whatever, and I don't have it. Or why they're ahead of me on the line, whatever. So I want to be there. This Prabhupada gives the example when he went to Dainapan. Dainapan was a publisher in Japan, and it probably was bargaining about printing the Krishna book especially, and other books, teachings of Lord Chaitanya there, to get a good price. So at the end he probably was pretty tricky. He had Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they gave a price, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave a price which is you know, absurdly lower than the price they were offering. And Prabhupada sat in the middle, and he said, well, you know, we got to be reasonable, Tom Krishna. You know, Prabhupada gave another price, which was the price he actually wanted. In between the price that Dainapan gave and Tamil Krishna Maharaj. So it appeared that Prabhupada is actually trying to mediate between them. So finally they accepted Prabhupada's price. So at the end, these big, because they had the big people there at that time, the big people, managers of Dainapan, they walked out, the lowest executive was there, and Prabhupada said, well, what is your goal? He asked them. So they all, when they walked in, they all stacked their cards one after another, with the last card being the head, the chief manager, then the guy who was taking care of them, showing them around, the manager, he was on the lowest. So Prabhupada said, well, what is your goal in life? So he took the card from the bottom and put it on the top. So that's what your life. Everyone's trying to go for, put their card from the bottom and put it on top. So they can, you know, on the gravestone, you know, I was on the top and I left my body. So that's called enviousness. Whether it be really gross or subtle, that's what the material world is about. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Kidai.